Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Tsikora et al. Titled, Caveolin 1 Prevents Sustained Angiotensin II-Induced Resistance Artery Constriction and Obesity-Induced High Blood Pressure. This article published in the March 1, 2015 issue. My guests today are Associate Editor Fabio Recchia, lead author Jolt Bagi, and content expert Prasad Kadakam. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. Under physiological conditions, the angiotensin receptor 1 undergoes rapid desensitization upon prolonged stimulation by angiotensin 2, while under pathological conditions, such as obesity-associated hypertension, this negative feedback regulation is impaired. In this study, Tsikora and collaborators tested the hypothesis that the interaction between angiotensin receptor 1 and caveolin 1 is essential to prevent sustained angiotensin 2-induced constriction in resistance arteries. By testing ex vivo skeletal muscle resistance arteries from rodents, they found that pharmacological disruption of caveolae or genetic ablation of caveolin 1 caused sustained and not transient constriction in response to angiotensin 2, similar to the response of arteries from obese rodents. Moreover, protein-protein interaction imaging in cultured vascular smooth muscle cells revealed that upon stimulation with angiotensin 2, angiotensin receptor 1 moves and physically interacts with caveolin 1, which delays its internalization and subsequent reactivation. The authors concluded that this mechanism prevents sustained angiotensin II-induced resistance artery constriction and elevates systemic blood pressure in diet-induced obesity. Jolt, part of these intriguing mechanisms had been previously tested by other authors. What are the novel aspects of your study?
So thank you, Fabio, for your kind introduction. So in this particular study, we aim to address the novel aspects of the role of angiotensin receptor trafficking in small artery constriction and its contribution to obesity-associated microvascular dysfunction. Recently, we got interested in the caveolin-dependent regulation and compartmentalization of important vasoregulatory mechanisms, both in health and diseases. So these caveolae are very unique subcellular compartments of many vascular cells, including endothelial and vascular smooth muscle cells, which orchestrates many important vasomotor and vasoregulatory mechanisms. One of those mechanisms is the interaction of type 1 angiotensin receptor with the caveolae, which has been demonstrated earlier by Wayne Alexander groups at the Emory University, and they proposed that upon stimulation by angiotensin 2, angiotensin receptors moves and physically interacts with caveolae. However, the important functional consequence of this interaction remained unknown.
Okay, thank you, Jolt. Prasad, which aspect of this study would you like to emphasize? I mean, any particular aspect that caught your attention?
The concept of lipid rafts, microdomains, regulating the actions of vasoactive proteins like angiotensin, endothelin, it's pretty novel, and the direction of research now is changing, with the emphasis being placed more on microdomains and lipid raft signaling and their role in overall either modulating the signaling and their derangement in pathological states that actually contributes to maintenance of vascular dysfunction or blood pressure problems. I think it's the novel aspect. And what is very fascinating for me is how he went about demonstrating the effect with complementary approaches, first in functional studies and then coming up with pharmacological probes like cyclodextrin, and then using RNA interference to knock down CAV and using knockout model, and then demonstrating the pathological significance by using a high-fat diet-induced hypertension and obesity model. I think those are the novel aspects that I felt are very important things about this manuscript that I really liked it.
Thank you, Prasad. Jolt, would you like to add something? In particular, the internalization process for a larger audience, if you can explain to us what is the physiological significance of receptor internalization in response to angiotensin II? It's not immediately intuitive that when you stimulate receptors in a prolonged way with angiotensin II, this internalization process is important for resensitization. So if you can explain this a little bit better to us.
Oh, yes, of course. So this is the old paradigm that many G-protein coupled receptors, such as angiotensin receptor, undergoes internalization, which in an old paradigm was known to reduce the amount of functionally available receptors and preventing its role in further stimulation. This mechanism was attributed to the reduced responsiveness to angiotensin receptor signalings in usually normal conditions. However, it's turned out that once the receptor is internalized, the recycling becomes pretty quick and the resensitization is very efficient in many cells, including vascular muscle cells. So in the new paradigm, the lateral shift in the membrane upon activation to and its interaction, the membrane subset compartment to the capillary, is considered to be delaying and contributing this negative feedback regulation of angiotensin receptors.
Thank you. And we can safely state that this mechanism is impaired in resistance arteries in obesity-induced hypertension. Is that right?
Apparently, in the early phases of obesity, the intact and the normal interaction between capillary 1 and angiotensin receptors were able to prevent the development of sustained angiotensin receptor activation, hence a sustained small artery constriction, and as we find, the development of the hypertension. So the diet-induced obesity was able to impair the angiotensin receptor, in other words, enhance angiotensin receptor signaling and cause the sustained receptor activations when the cavalin 1 was genetically silenced in the animals.
Thank you very much. So, Prasad, do you have any remarks?
I'd like to ask Zolt what he thinks about the other possible vasoconstrictor agonists, such as endothelin, also. Could that be affected with this caviar-mediated regulation? Because we've seen in a different obesity model, Zucker obese rats, that like Zolt discussed, there is an early phase of response where the constriction to endothelin was actually dampened or attenuated, and then followed later on prolonged obesity, increasing constriction, and this is very selective for only G-protein coupled receptors. And I was just wondering if he would speculate whether other G-protein coupled vasoconstrictor agonists could potentially be regulated by a similar mechanism.
Thank you, Prasad. So you pointed out very correctly that angiotensin is only one of the main and major vasoconstrictor which may enhance vascular tone and contribute to the development of hypertension. There are other mechanisms such as endothelin 1, adrenergic agonists, which also act upon activation of G-protein coupled receptors. What we suggest and what I believe is there is a clear difference between the dynamics of these receptor recyclings. For example, adrenergic receptors known to be cycle and recycle very quickly. And interestingly, in this study, we didn't find any changes, even in a knockout model, in response to adrenergic agonist-induced vasoconstrictor responsiveness, so we excluded its role in the development of hypertension. The same may apply to endothelin 1, but this was not tested in this study, and I don't know any recent literature data showing that endothelin receptors are, in a similar way than angiotensin type of receptors, interact with cavalry and contributing an important regulation.
Zsolt, what about future directions then after this study? What is the potential impact for understanding for hypertension associated to obesity or diet-induced obesity or even metabolic syndrome?
Oh yes, Fabio, you correctly pointed out in your introduction there is a close association between obesity and hypertension. In this study, we were not able to demonstrate in normal white-tab animals this diet-induced obesity increases angiotensin responsiveness and the development of hypertension, suggesting some uncertain level of adaptation of vascular mechanisms in response to the metabolic challenge. So the next step would be to find out, and sure, we would like to know when and how exactly this adaptive vascular mechanism becomes compromised, and most importantly, we would like to translate these observations to the human non-complicated or, more importantly, the complicated obesity. So the challenge is then, once we discover and translate this mechanism and the compromised mechanism into the patients, so how we can eventually restore the normal regulatory function of CAB1 in complicated obesity in patients.
I think we had a very interesting discussion of this paper. Thank you very much, Zsolt. Thank you very much, Brazet. Kara?
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.